From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Start here with a statement, and that is I stand by my statement from the other day, the one that was released. I fully support the investigation into the allegations, and as that investigation proceeds, I'll continue to work hard to promote and reinforce a culture of compliance in our organization, just like I have for the last 8 years. And I'll also continue to work hard on bringing us here at the University of Arizona the most successful basketball season we can possibly have this year.
Hello. Welcome to the latest Wildcast. We're back in my condo here with Maggie. Justin's back in the mix. We got some donuts and some coffee again. It's become a routine of sorts, and we're pretty excited about it. The donuts are still delicious.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Amy's Donuts, always hooking it up for us.
Yeah, maybe they should sponsor us. That would be great.
That'd be a good sponsor.
Can we, Ryan, look into that? But yeah, we're back for the latest episode. If you haven't heard from us enough lately, you know, we've had probably more podcasts in the last 2 weeks combined than we had like previously before that. But obviously, just been so much stuff going on. You heard at the beginning of the podcast, Sean Miller's opening statement from his press conference yesterday. I don't know if it's word for word the same, but it was pretty much the same as the statement he released. The gist being that he's going to continue to do a program that complies with NCAA rules like he has for all 8 years, which was kind of a point of jokes for some fans online because, I mean, the joke being that all this wouldn't have happened if that was entirely the case. But, I mean, we won't go into the weeds on that too much. But, I mean, you were there. That was probably the biggest crowd I've seen there outside of like a media day setting, maybe, or an NCAA tournament setting. But he kept trying to put the conversation towards basketball. I don't know if it worked entirely, but I mean, what did you kind of think of that press conference? It was kind of what we expected,
and it was kind of crazy because I got there at press conference was at 2:30, and I got there around 1:45, and I wasn't even the first one there. So I was like, whoa, this is crazy, and to see more seats put in the press conference room. Yeah, I'm like, it's almost as if they were expecting a big crowd. And then you saw a bunch of non-sports people or non-sports reporters. You saw
TV people.
You saw TV news people come out to this press conference. So when I saw those guys, I was like, this is a big deal. And, you know, Sean Miller came out, and as soon as he walked into that room, it was just dead silent. Yeah, and you could just feel the awkwardness.
I was like, curious who was going to ask the first question, actually.
Yeah. And it was pretty much word for word his statement from the other day. And then he tried to kind of veer towards, all right, basketball-related questions only. And then a few people tried to test him.
Well, because we kind of had to also.
Yeah. And
the funny thing about that, you can only ask basketball related questions, is like these questions are kind of basketball related. Like, are you going to have a basketball team this year?
They're involving your program. Yeah. You know, what are we supposed to ask? Oh, how was Book Richardson as a basketball coach? Yeah. Now that he's no longer here, what are we missing for Book? You know,
that's the thing. Like, for me, it was like just hard to like care about a lot of the stuff that was being said. Like we've heard all about DeAndre Ayton and this freshman class and these scenes. Like there were press conferences in the off season. And we know about this team, like, everything that's on anybody's mind is, are they going to get in trouble? And, like, how are they feeling about it? And Miller deflected. Trier had some good answers to, like, some of the dealing with adversity and how it's just another thing they have to deal with. But, I mean, the reality is, like, are these games going to count? Like, we don't know. We might not know until after the season, which is kind of sad, but.
And you know what's crazy is Alonzo Trier is probably sitting there thinking, man, my situation last year is, like, child's play compared to this one.
Right.
So, yeah, the press conference yesterday, in my mind, was kind of pointless just because, you know, you had Dusan Ristic talking about, oh, I'm excited for this year's team. We're going to accomplish a lot of things.
Surprised you didn't try and do a Serbian accent.
Exactly. I do a terrible Serbian accent. So, and Alonzo Trier talking about, you know, we're going to overcome this. It was all scripted. You could tell Miller, Dusan, and Alonzo
sat down.
This is how we're rolling with this thing. So,
yeah. Mark Titus on The Ringer had a great story that came out today that kind of that I mean, I love Mark Titus' stuff in general. It's usually hilarious, but this one kind of captured. He's always kind of done. He always kind of has made jokes about Arizona's like misery. Like, I won't say exactly the way he described some of it because it's probably not appropriate for the podcast.
Not safe word.
But I mean, the general gist being like they've always been so close, and there's always just been like one thing that like held them back, or one thing that happened between like the 2005 Saleem game where they. Or I should say Illinois game, it wasn't Saleem game, where they blew the lead at the end, which you described in painstaking detail just a little bit ago. I mean, even in Sean Miller, you know, you had the Wisconsin games, you had Derek Williams one where they missed three pointers at the buzzer, like it. So as he said and as I've been saying, it's just kind of perfect for Arizona's program that the year they're probably like not probably going to win, but like maybe their best chance they've had in a decade, that this happens right before it, and it all might not matter anyway.
Well, I remember everybody was so hyped about Lauri Markkanen, saying Sean Miller's never had a player like him before. He's supposed to be the next Dirk, whatever. And then Alonzo Trier thing happens. True. Okay, they could win the tournament, and then Xavier gets in the way of it. Then Sean Miller has his best recruiting class in program history, which is crazy to think about because he's had some great classes. Yeah. And you have a bunch of returning guys coming back. So you have Raleigh, Alonzo Trier, you have Dusan Ristic, you have a veteran point guard, a floor general, Parker Jackson Cartwright, and then you add all the freak of athletes in that freshman class. There's no way Arizona's going to lose, right? There's no way everything's going to go smoothly. And I was under that assumption, too.
In reality, nothing ever goes smoothly. Like, something would have happened. Someone got hurt, someone got suspended. Like,
too good to be true. Yeah. It's too good to be true. And if it wasn't for this FBI investigation, we'd be sitting here thinking, oh, Raleigh can't be, stay healthy.
Like, the day before the news came out, it was like the DeAndre Ayton video of him, which I'm not – I mean, it was like his max vertical was like 40-something inches, but he was running also.
Yeah, so he had like a 10-yard start.
But I mean, it's pretty remarkable that a 7-footer can jump like he can anyway. But the point being, like, we would be hyping up DeAndre Ayton, you know, best player in the country campaign would be starting right now. But it's not. I mean, even like we've talked about this, even the Raleigh Alkins thing, I guess we can cover a little basketball. So the Raleigh Alkins getting hurt out 8 to 12 weeks, we probably would have been hashing that out a little more. They brought it up yesterday. As expected, it sounds like Brandon Randolph and Acott will be the guys taking the time. I feel like Brandon Randolph's more likely to be the one to get the bulk of the playing time because Acott's just so young. I'm not sure if he's ready quite yet.
Yeah, well, Raleigh Alkins is kind of built like a small forward. I always thought he was kind of fit more Stanley's role. His outside shot is kind of spotty, so, I mean, he will improve on that this year, but I always thought Raleigh could slide over to the three, and although Alonzo Trier has played three his entire career, Alonzo Trier is going to play shooting guard in the NBA. So having Trier,
or even one if he can develop.
Yeah, yeah. And if Trier can man down the two-guard spot, I think Raleigh would thrive at the three. But now with Raleigh out, Trier is going to have to go back to the three. And Brandon Randolph, who is the best shooter on the team, I think.
One of the best athletes, by all indications, yeah.
So you install him in a lineup and...
You might see like a guy like Barcelo getting some more playing time than he would have at the beginning. It's kind of might be like a Kobe Simmons situation. Maybe not with Barcelo, but like general with these freshmen, where like he was playing more because Trier was gone, and once Trier came back, he kind of.
Mm. But you even saw some lineups where had Parker and Kobe in, and Kobe was listed as a point guard.
He wasn't really a point guard.
He was a scorer. So that's why that should be pretty interesting if they were to put Barcelo and Parker out at the same time, because that's just
that might be a defensive problem. Would be the only thing, but Barcelo might be one of their best shooters as well. So.
And
Miller's always going out of his way to rave about Barcelo, which means he's showing something that he deserves that.
And Parker and Barcelo, both in the backcourt, imagine how fun that's going to be when they're on like playing the fast break and stuff like that.
I mean, you have to get Showtime. DeAndre and Traylon.
So, yeah, I mean.
So there, I mean, the basketball part will be fun, but what as I mentioned.
It's still a cloud.
Yeah, yeah. I think I mentioned this on Zach Clark's show yesterday. I felt like Miller didn't really address the fans like he should have. I know he can't say specific things, but you know, I think there's just based off. I was talking about this with Bruce. The reactions to me and like Greg Hansen have been like, we're biased and we're not giving Sean Miller a chance. And then on the flip side, there's a lot of fans who are like angry and like, why would he do this? And you know, our program's in trouble. So it's an interesting mix. But I think in general, fans are concerned about what's coming and what happened. So I think Miller. I'm curious to see if he, because he always addresses the crowd at the red and blue game. So I'm curious to see how he's going to do that. If he's going to, what he's going to say to them, if he's going to assure them that everything's going to be okay, or if he's going to have a legally prepared response, or if he's just not going to do it. I think you kind of have to. This fan base has been supporting him since the moment he got here, and they've, there's people that are defending him no matter what. So I personally think, regardless of the legal stuff, I think he needs to address the crowd and be like, you know, I apologize. I'm not, maybe not admit any wrongdoing because of the legal part of it, but I think he needs to come out there and say, like, you know, I'm sorry that there's this cloud over a program. I'm doing everything I can to get everything on the right track. Like, I just, right? Don't you agree?
Yeah. I want Miller to do like a Braveheart speech. and just kind of hype up everybody. That'd be awesome. No, but yeah, Miller kind of said that yesterday. He had a message to his fans saying that they're going to go out and do whatever they can to make sure they have the best season possible.
It was like a prepared thing.
Yeah, it wasn't a message, a genuine message to the fans. And
that was the thing. I don't know if anything seemed very genuine at the press conference. That's a good way to kind of get
it.
I get it because he can't say much and he can't like show guilt.
And if Arizona fans really want assurance, just go check out DeAndre Ayton's Twitter, because it was a couple days after the FBI investigation came out, he said, "Don't worry, everything's gonna be all right." So if the players are thinking that, yeah, exactly. If the players are saying that, they're pretty confident. Everybody on the roster right now is full go for this season. So that's the silver lining for Arizona fans. But the bad part of it is that we're still in limbo. We don't know anything that's going on right now. So
yeah, the unfortunate part is it doesn't appear, it's not definite, but it appears we're not going to have a media day, which is when we kind of get to know the young guys especially. And it would have been cool to be, you know, everybody had stories about DeAndre Ayton and even like a guy like Chase Jeter, who probably won't get to talk to until the NCAA tournament now. So that part of it's unfortunate, but I mean, you move on and there's more important fish to fry right now, I guess. And on that note, we can go to the Twitter mailbag, pop that thing open. I've been saying, I feel like we need to get like a tune to like say it's coming, you know?
Do-do-do-do-do, ass blat.
Can we just record you saying that, actually? That's great. All right, let's get this thing going. There's a nice mixture of football and basketball today. All right. R. Baron, 1856, asked, have we reached must-win territory for Rich Rod at Colorado this week? Not many W's on the schedule. I was talking about this with somebody yesterday. It seems like every week it's another, like, this is the most important game of the season for them. But that's just because when you're a team, like, on the bubble, it kind of is like that until you, like, show what side of the bubble you're on, you know? So I feel like if they win this game, they could be in really good shape. Because then you have like two winnable games. UCLA they haven't beat yet, but they're beatable. And then you have at Cal, which is a winnable game. So if you can go 2-1, that's probably best case scenario, realistic best case scenario. But like if they lose this game, then all of a sudden, you know, then you have UCLA at home, a team you haven't beat. Then you're on the road at Cal, and then you have teams like USC and at Oregon. And so I'd say this is a must win, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And
it's gonna be a tough one too.
And I think it would be a good win because it's defending Pac-12 South champions in Colorado. Colorado's got a great run game in Phillip Lindsay, and they got a good quarterback play. I don't think Montez is an upgrade from Sefolu-Fal, but maybe that's just because I haven't really seen much from him. But, yeah, if you're Arizona, I mean, getting a win on the road, especially coming off a bye week, it kind of it puts you guys into perspective saying – we could actually do something here. Sure, we had a rough start to our first four games of the season, but you know, being above 500 and then going back home and playing against a decent team in UCLA, I think it adds confidence to them, and it's much needed.
They need that, yeah. All right. At MP Ziccarelli asked, you going D-backs or Dodgers? I was at the D-backs game the other day. It was pretty exciting, but their bullpen is a pretty big concern, I think. I'd say that the Dodgers are like kind of – an unstoppable force if they have everything working. So I'd probably say the Dodgers are going to win. Are you a Dodgers fan too?
You smart.
I hate the Dodgers, to be fair. Are you a Dodgers fan too?
Absolutely. I thought you were. Absolutely. No, I think the Dodgers, they had a... The
D-backs can keep it close, but yeah.
And the Diamondbacks are the kind of team where it doesn't matter what your record is, it's all about how you finish the season. They reminded me of when I really followed the Diamondbacks. I forgot what year it was. I want to say it was 2008 or something like that. That is when the Diamondbacks had Eric Burns and Connor Jackson and all those guys. And they finished the season with one of the better records in baseball. But then they played the Rockies and the NLCS, and the Rockies just had like the best stretch from September on,
and they
swept it.
Sometimes that's
the way it is. The Diamondbacks are rolling right now, and the way the Dodgers finished, it's got me a little worried. I'm not gonna lie, but I think there's too much star power with the Dodgers compared to the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are getting there. Yeah. I just don't think they're there yet. So I think the Dodgers win this one.
So I went to the D-backs game the other day. The last playoff game I'd been to before that was the NLCS Phillies against the Dodgers. Was it the year they won the World Series? Or no, the year they made it to the World Series and lost to the Yankees. But I went to the one game that the Phillies lost to the Dodgers that year. So. But Dodger Stadium's great. I like it. I mean, getting out there sucks. But
yeah.
And the parking is like the worst parking situation out of anything I've ever been. I don't know how it's been since I've been there. But
it's L.A., man.
Yeah, L.A. Yeah, that's
good. L.A., am I right?
Yeah. L.A. traffic. All right. At Pitcher Circle, will the UA fill assistant coach Book's position on an interim basis pending the outcome of the event? Yeah, I mean, they just can't do anything about that until he's officially fired is the main thing. So I think they technically have to officially fire him and then do a job posting, and then that's when they can fill it. I don't know if that'll happen this season, honestly. If they'll fill it, at least maybe in the off season or depending on what happens. But yeah, I don't know. We don't really need to expand on that too much. But yeah.
And it wasn't like Book was his main assistant head coach.
Yeah, he was.
Just, so yeah. He was an assistant coach. Yeah.
If it was like Phelps. Or
Romar
would be a little different, but yeah.
At AZ Dog One, about Kim Denson asked, because the news came out that he's medically retiring. He asked, is this a strategy that may help earn a medical retro year or really the end? It's the end. There's no strategy needed to do that. If you miss most of the games, then you can get a medical retro. So yeah, I just think I don't know if he wants to play football anymore and deal with rehabbing this knee or his foot or whatever it was and going through the whole process of getting back and going through camp again. I mean, some guys just don't want to go through that anymore, and it stinks because we've talked about how talented he was in high school, but yeah, his career is probably over.
Yeah, when you get to a certain point in your life where it's just not fun anymore, what's the point of putting yourself through all that kinds of misery?
Other people want you to.
Exactly, and I think Cam is under the impression that I'm not going to the NFL, so really, what am I doing here? Let me just go to school, let me get my degree, and let me focus on life after football. So
yeah,
I applaud Cam.
Exactly.
All right. This guy had three tweet questions. All right. At Frat Night Gaming, how is the progress of Mason Knight and younger O-linemen and your outlook on the O-line for next year? Now, honestly, I haven't heard very much about Mason Knight. He's a JC transfer that came to them kind of the last minute. Since we haven't heard about him, I can't really tell you how he's progressed. But in terms of the younger O-linemen, I mean, one of them is Bryson Cain, who's out for the year. Michael Latisse has only really kind of shuffled in a little bit. He hasn't played that much. So the outlook for next year, I'm a little concerned just because they're not going to have much experience. They're going to lose Alsadek and DeBeer. There's a chance they can get Leith Frick back, apparently, because he only played like briefly in like a couple of games his true freshman year. So if he can come back, that'd be huge. But I'm not very optimistic about their O-line. He said many of the 2018 recruits have no stats, no film. In general, do lack of stats or playing on a bad team correlate with the talent of the recruit? That's an interesting question. I think it looks better if you're coming from a winning program, probably, but I don't know if it necessarily has any bearing on the talent of a guy.
Wait, what's that question again?
He's basically asking if a guy's coming from a bad team or like you don't see his stats online or something, if that means they're not that talented. But it's football's such a team sport. It's just so hard to figure that out.
Yeah, and there's one example of that is Jordan Porter here at Cholla. I think the team took a few weeks to upload his stats on maxpreps.com. So I had no idea about this kid.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, a few weeks into the season, I'm like, what's the deal with this Troy quarterback? And, of course, he's playing for a bad team. So,
yeah.
I mean, he
could play at like Pima next year, he said. I think NAU was looking at him.
Mm-hmm. And if Porter was playing at a team like South Point, I think he would have some legit offers.
Yeah.
Sure, and then he asked my thoughts on the first Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. Do you watch Curb or no?
I do not.
Oh, man. You don't belong at the Star, apparently. We all do. But
I just heard about the when Larry David said Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold.
Oh, yeah, on the radio? Oh, man. Yeah, and he's like, gotta go with the Jew. God, that made me so happy. That's like the most Larry David thing ever. But as for the episode, I'm just so happy it's back. It's been 6 years. I thought they were shaking off a little rust, but there were still some like classic Curb moments. So I'm just so happy it's back. Everybody is that's watching it. Yeah, all right. Let's see. You heard that news about how the university part of Rincon might be like going to their own school or something.
Oh, and, yeah. Some smart kids finally having their own campus. So
at DS22 asked, if my UHS gets a campus, what's the 4-year win-loss projection for the Mighty Penguin football team? Like Rio Rico in the 2000s? I'm guessing. I don't know that much about that, but I imagine it wouldn't be a very good team, right?
Yeah, Rio Rico's bad. Or they were bad in the 2000s. Like, they lost every single game, like, 8 years in a row. But, that'd be kind of weird to see university have their own football team.
Wouldn't they be, like, taking over Catalina or something? Isn't that what I read? That's so weird.
And then Catalina would be going over to Rincon. So
that's so strange.
So I'm trying to sit here and think, are they going to go by Rincon / Catalina now?
That's awkward.
This is weird.
That's awkward. I don't like it.
Go Penguins.
Go Penguins. That's a great football team. I mean, it's not that intimidating or anything, but I kind of like it.
The Fighting Penguins.
Yeah. Is their mascot just a guy walking around, a penguin, just waddling around? These last two are kind of the same thing. This Maggie shaking. At Light Up the U asked, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much does it make you laugh that people actually believe that Sean Miller didn't know about paying kids? And at D-backs 86 asked, what do you think about the Sean Miller statement? I won't put a scale and I won't talk about laughing at it, but I will say that I'd personally be pretty surprised if he didn't know about it. And as for the statement, the statement was whatever, but I just didn't get why it took a week for them to send out a statement that didn't actually say anything. And like clearly was written in a way that like left him not liable for anything he would have said. So I was a little disappointed just in the time it took to do that. And then all of a sudden they had this bombardment of press releases. Like, I get that they're probably evaluating the situation, seeing how other schools are handling it. But I think for the fans' purposes, I think it would have been better to do it quicker at least.
Because then when he released that statement over the email, we were all like, really? This really took that long? Yeah, oh, you could have released that on Tuesday night or even Wednesday morning.
And wait a day or two.
It would have been totally fine. So, but like Sean Miller said, the investigation's still going on. He can't really talk anything about it. So it's nothing at this point. We sound like a broken record player, Zach.
Yeah.
It's just over and over and over again until the actual basketball season starts or until the FBI comes down on Arizona or the NCAA. We just going to continue to sound like a broken record player.
I know. We've pretty much been saying the same stuff, but what else can we say? So, exactly. All right. On that note, we'll call it to Michael here in a minute. After our chat with Michael, I'll throw on an interview I had with a quick interview I had with Lorenzo Burns earlier this week, a corner from Arizona, is recruited by Colorado. He's a good interview. It was a nice little chat. And and then we'll close this thing out and we'll plug some stuff.
Let's do it.
All right, we got Michael Lev on the other line, our good friend. He's getting ready to fly out to Boulder. You excited for Boulder, Michael? Everybody always says it's one of their favorite trips. I went there 2 years ago. I loved it.
I'm a big fan of the whole Colorado experience in general. Very, very good food in the press box.
That's huge.
It's kind of an older stadium, but it feels intimate compared to some others. What I'm looking forward to the most, though, is getting to spend, you know, a little bit of time in the afternoon in Boulder on Saturday. I really haven't had a chance to hang out in that town, and I'm planning to have some lunch, watch a little ball somewhere in Boulder during the day before the game, which also is, you know, relatively early.
Yeah, for us,
6 o'clock in Colorado and 5 o'clock Tucson time. So,
yay deadlines!
I'm sorry.
I said yay deadlines.
So how are your donuts this morning, guys?
Oh, they're fantastic. We're doing different kinds each week, you know, changing it up.
I see how it is. Just for the record, they did invite me.
Yes.
They did invite me over for their little donut party over there at Zach's house, but I had too many things to do, you know, work-related items and so forth, so maybe next time.
You're making excuses. I had a Bananas Foster donut. Justin had a creme brulee donut. It's a great time. But yeah, I mean, so in the Twitter mailbag just a minute ago, somebody asked us if we think that this game is a must win for Arizona. I mean, it seems like an obvious question, and it seems like every week we're like, all right, this is the most important game of the season. But I said I feel like if you could, the season could go in many different directions based off whether they win or lose this game. Don't you kind of agree?
I do agree. I don't see it as a must win in the same sense that it's a must win for Colorado.
Yeah.
If Colorado loses this game, coming off a year in which they were 8-1 in the Pac-12, they were the South champions, and then they start 0-3 in the Pac with a home loss to Arizona being the third one. I mean, then things are really going in a bad direction for that program. Arizona would be 0-2. If they play well again, I feel like they're going to sort of feel the same way about themselves. Maybe the frustration level will increase a bit, but I know that from talking to guys this week, they feel like they're on the verge. You know, they feel like they're right there. They're just a couple plays away from being 3-1 or even 4-0. So I think if they go up there and they lose a close game, which is what I expect to happen, then I don't see it as, you know, the season coming off the rails. If they go up there and get blown out, you know, that might be a different story.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I think that's the interesting thing about this team, because I feel like we probably thought we were going to know more about this team after, like, non-conference play, but they've, like, kept every game so close that, like, there's just, like, this feeling that they could be a lot better than their record has shown to be.
Right. I mean, what do you say about a 2-2 team? I mean, you know, they're right in the middle. They're a team of could-haves and would-haves and should-haves at this point. I mean, you like the way the defense is playing. I mean, I think we can pretty definitively say that the defense is better than it was a year ago. You know, you can look at the opposition that they played and say, you know, maybe that's not the case, but their one bad game was against Northern Arizona. You know, two of the three good games are against two of the three, you know, good teams that they have played. So I think we know that, and it's kind of funny to look at an Arizona team in that way. You know, a team under Rich Rodriguez that's maybe better on defense than it is on offense.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, I don't know if it's too early to draw that conclusion, but I kind of feel like things are headed in that direction, and that's why I was a little surprised when I saw the over-under for this game being in the 59-point range. I mean, these are two offenses that have struggled in various ways and two defenses that have played pretty well.
Yeah. Vegas always knows something.
They always know something.
They know. I mean, look, I am never going to question the wisdom of Vegas because they're invariably they're right about things. It just thought it was a little puzzling.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember last time Arizona went up to Colorado, we talked about this on the Monday podcast a little bit, about the swapping of quarterbacks during the game. It was the Anu Solomon, Gerard Randall kind of show going on. And then now, a couple years later down the road, another quarterback controversy once again. Michael, do you think that there could be a possibility where Khalil Tate, if Brandon Dawkins struggled in the first half, that we could see him later on in the second half?
Absolutely. And I think it depends solely on how Brandon Dawkins plays. You know, I don't think that Rich Rod is going into this game with a plan to shuttle in Khalil Tate. But if the performance dictates it, he has that option available now. You know, I feel like Colorado is going to try to take away the run, as any team should when they're facing Arizona. I mean, the way that Mike McIntyre was talking about Brandon Dawkins' running ability, the overall running scheme that Rich Rod runs, and then how effective it's been, I got the feeling that they are just going to devote as many resources as they possibly can to stopping the run and keeping Brandon Dawkins contained within the pocket. So then the question becomes, like we ask just about every week, you know, can Brandon make those handful of throws that he needs to make in order to, you know, keep the chains moving, make first downs, convert in the red zone, you know, all the little plays that really make the difference between winning and losing.
Yeah. One thing that's kind of interesting to me, I feel like Colorado might have, like, the edge in terms of, like, playmakers on offense. If you just look at, they have Phillip Lindsay, they have a couple really talented receivers, and then Montez can make plays on the ground. I mean, it's kind of strange to me that Colorado's kind of jumped ahead of Arizona in terms of skill positions. I guess what are you looking for in terms of Arizona's defense in this game?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at sort of, like, position-by-position comparison, I mean, there's no way you could come to any other conclusion that Colorado has a vastly better and more experienced receiving core than Arizona. I mean, they're loaded out there with Bobo and Fields and all those dudes. It hasn't really translated into great production yet because, you know, I think, you know, you're still dealing with a young quarterback in Montez. If you look at him physically, like, he looks like an NFL guy. Like, he has the size, he has a cannon for an arm, he has really good mobility, but he's still pretty young. You know, his TD to interception ratio isn't really what you want it to be at this point in his development, 7-6. But, you know, a lot of people said, even though the stats weren't that good, that he played better at UCLA, that he was kind of the victim of some drops in that game. He did not throw an interception after throwing three against Washington, so those are positive signs for them. You know, I think Arizona is going to kind of play Colorado the same way that Colorado is going to play Arizona. I think they're going to really focus a lot on slowing down Philip Lindsay, making sure that Montez doesn't run the ball, and trust their defensive backs to defend Colorado's receivers, you know, in a lot of one-on-one matchups. I think they have confidence in those guys. They've played pretty darn well so far this season. And I think they'll try that at least initially and see how it goes.
Yeah.
That's tough. I mean, because you said they have to rely on their defensive backs, and the biggest concern for me for Arizona really is the cornerbacks. I really haven't seen Jace Whitaker have a good game unless it was UTEP, right? He was the leading tackler at UTEP, but that realistically, that was the only game I've seen the corners have. So, Michael, I mean, do you really think that the corners can hold up against guys like Bryce Bobo, who is a playmaker?
It's a great question. I think those guys have been inconsistent, but they haven't given up, you know, since their kind of struggles early in the season with, you know, tracking the ball in the air, especially against NAU. They haven't given up a ton of big plays. I mean, I felt like the coverage was a little soft at the beginning of the Utah game and the tackling wasn't very good, but they tightened things down for the most part. I mean, it was really like two big passing plays that Utah hit in that game that were really the difference. The seam route to Carrington after Huntley got hurt and Williams came in, and Demetrius Flanagan Fowles had pretty good coverage on that play. You know, it was a great play by a really good receiver. And then the one down the middle on the 3rd and 18, I think that was just a coverage bust. You know, you just can't allow a guy to slip behind you in that particular situation. And what concerns me a little bit is that they haven't rotated much at all in the secondary. And, you know, Richard kind of dismissed the idea of elevation, you know, playing any role in this game, but it is usually a factor for pretty much any visiting team. I'm hopeful that they can rotate a little bit in the secondary to kind of keep those guys fresh. They will have more bodies available in the front seven, which is really helpful. And Parker Zellers is going to play. It looks like DeAndre Miller is going to play. And you know, it's always a two-way street with pass coverage. If you can get good pressure on the quarterback, it just makes things easier for those guys on the back end.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of the defense real quick, you mentioned before we started recording that there's a somewhat newsy item. You want to tell the folks what you told us?
Yeah, I think even though we reported what we reported earlier in the week about Scotty Young Jr. and Rich Rod said what he said about participating in all team activities, I think there's some questions still on some people's part as to whether he would make this trip and play in this game, and he is making the trip. You know, we'll see if he plays in the game or if he sits out at all. Rich Rod really did not want to get into any specifics about any sort of discipline, you know, in relation to Scotty Young's arrest last week, but my assumption at this point as we have this conversation is that he's going to start per usual. You know, we all have our opinions about whether that's the right thing to do, but it seems like that's what the situation is going to be. And from a pure football standpoint, it's obviously beneficial for Arizona to have, you know, it's just starting free safety and promising, you know, freshman talent out there on the field.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, I think that's a good time to go to some predictions. I guess we can just start from the end. What do you think? How do you think this game's going to go? What do you think the final score is going to be?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really close game. You know, I think we talked about this a little bit at the end of our podcast on Monday. But you know, Colorado's favored. Colorado is probably slightly better from a talent standpoint. They're at home. They're desperate. All those things. But it's a winnable game for Arizona. I mean, even in that game last year that they lost 49-24, I mean, Arizona outgained Colorado. You know, I don't think this is a team, you know, that's going to blow Arizona off the ball. You know, that's going to have a dominant front seven that's just going to cause all sorts of problems. I mean, I think it's going to be fairly even, but I think the desperation factor for Colorado works in their favor. I think home field works in their favor. And I also think, as much as I've been impressed with the Arizona defense, that maybe they're due for like a little bit of regression to the mean. So all of those factors to me add up to a Colorado victory by a score of 27-24.
All right, Justin, what do you got?
Yeah, I agree with Michael. I think the Vegas, maybe they're seeing something that we don't. That what was it, 59 points that you said?
Yeah, that's what Michael said. Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to be like that. I think Arizona will keep it close. I can actually see Brandon Dawkins having a good game, going on the road and
the job?
Yeah, maybe.
Do it, Justin. Pull the trigger. Come on. Do it.
So I think Brandon Dawkins will kind of show people that, yeah, although that this is a kind of a controversy going on, this is still my job to lose, and I could do just enough to make sure that I keep the job. So, it's tough, but I'm still going to give the edge to Colorado. I think Colorado wins 30-21. So I'll give a 9-point.
That's almost identical to the Utah game, so that would be interesting. and then I think it's going to be close, and then I can see Colorado pulling away kind of thing. I was thinking something along the lines of Colorado 28, Arizona 17. I just don't have confidence in Arizona's quarterback position to this point. So I'm curious to see if Khalil Tate comes in, if he can make some noise, and if he comes out of that game playing well, then he'll probably be the starter a week later against UCLA, which is going to be a huge moment for him going against a SoCal team like that. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to go 28-17.
Hey, Michael.
That would give me something to write about, wouldn't it? If Khalil came in the second half and
led them to a win or something,
spark, or led them to a comeback victory or whatever. That would just sort of reignite this whole quarterback controversy that's been, man, it's been kind of relatively quiet with all the other stuff going on here in Tucson.
Then I was going to say, and then if he comes in and doesn't play well, then we're just going to be at the same exact spot we were this week. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, then everyone's going to say Rhett Rodge should play. The most popular guy in town is the backup quarterback, and then if he doesn't play well, then his backup is the next most popular guy. So that's kind of how it works.
In about 3 weeks, we'll be hearing about Kahari Lane being the next guy up, right?
Okay. Or Donovan Tate. I mean, there's a lot of choices, you know? any number of directions your truck can go with this thing.
Yeah, that's why he signed like 12 quarterbacks, right?
Right. Well, hey, you know what? You know, a year ago at this time, they didn't have any running backs.
True.
And their quarterbacks, you know, got banged up, and it was game five that all happened. So, you know, at least they have healthy running backs, they have healthy quarterbacks. Now it's just a matter of going out and playing well.
Definitely.
And Michael, you ready for Oregon State to pull off the upset special at USC?
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Man, Clay Helton would be fired right after that.
There is no amount of points that I you could give me with Oregon State in that game. I mean, it's going to be like an angry USC team. Darnold is probably going to throw like 7 touchdown passes in that game to kind of prove all the doubters wrong. I think Ryan Nall is injured, and he's kind of the only guy who maybe would have given the Beavers a chance. That program, man, they were supposed to be, remember, they were supposed to be this year's Colorado, and they're just Oregon State. Yeah, over again.
The Pac-12 is all, there's always some weird crap going on in the Pac-12. It's pretty weird this year again. But yeah, I think that's a good point to end on. Justin's still laughing right now.
Well, it was so funny because like he was saying, oh, they're supposed to be this year's Colorado, and they're just Oregon State.
Sad but true. Sorry, Beavers.
Sorry, Beavers fans who listen to this podcast. But yeah, we'll end on that. Thanks for chatting, Michael. Have a safe trip out to Colorado.
Thank you, fellas.
Thanks,
yeah.
Mike.
Now we'll cut to my chat I had with Lorenzo Burns earlier this week that I talked about earlier.
How's it going, man?
How you doing?
Good. So, you guys coming off a bye week? I mean, how you feeling now? Got the week off and get back into the mix?
I'm excited. You know, we get to come out on another Saturday and try to prove ourselves. You know, we feel like we should be undefeated. We've had some close losses, but we've been trying to get better every week and trying to shock the nation.
I'll say, is that kind of the feeling around the team? Like, if you guys maybe don't make a couple mistakes and you're 4-0, like, so we need to, like, fix that kind of thing? Was that kind of the...
Yeah, we're all pushing together to eliminate the dumb penalties, dumb mistakes. So, like I said, we're just trying to get better because we have the attitude that nobody should be able to beat us, you know. That's the attitude we're supposed to have coming in every Saturday.
Yeah.
It's a battle. People people are doubting us in the nation, and we just want to come out and prove everybody wrong. So
yeah, how do you feel like where you're at right now?
I feel like I can be better, a lot better. Granted, it's my first year on the football field, really starting on defense. I'm taking bumps and bruises, you know, but it's making me a better player. I think as the season goes on, that I'm getting more comfortable, you know, because I came out, you know, having butterflies at first, but now I'm starting to get a feel for the game and get an understanding for it. So
yeah, is there anything in particular that you feel like you can improve on? Like, mm-hmm. is there an area in particular that
yeah,
you feel like you
struggle with? Just being more confident in my reads, you know, because football is about a game of confidence. So if you don't go on the field with confidence, then you know you're gonna lose the battle. So as far as just stepping on the field, I think just having more confidence and seeing what I seeing the plays and recognizing, go getting the ball,
yeah,
make the plays on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned having the butterflies at first. This, I mean, I know last year you played a little and then you got hurt, mm-hmm. but like the first game was like pretty much your first like full game. So how do you feel like it slowed down since then? Do you feel now that you've had some experience under your belt?
Right. I mean, last year I was only on special teams, you know, and I just punt, kick off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was really it. I didn't really get a full feel for the game, you know,
yeah.
as far as like how quick the game can be, you know. So I think when it first started, it was kind of fast for me. But then, as like I said, as the season's going along, it's starting to slow down for me.
Yeah. So you were recruited by Colorado quite a bit, right?
Right.
Did you ever visit there?
I took a visit there in high school. I did.
What do you remember about your experience there?
It's a great atmosphere. It's a great place. It's a college town. People love the Buffaloes up there. But, you know, we got to go in and just get them to leave the stadium as early as we can.
So what was it about Arizona that made you pick them?
Well, you know, over here I have a lot of teammates on a team that I've been knowing since 7th grade.
Yeah, a lot of SoCal kids out here.
J.J. Taylor, Chacho, Tracy Mayshak, like, all those kids. I grew up in high school, and they were around my area, and I hung out with some of them. Some of them came over to my house. So just the ability to come over here and be around my friends and play under one of the greatest schools, you know, in the pack, is exciting.
Yeah. Their receiving corps is pretty talented. I mean, what kind of sticks out on film when you watch them?
They're crafty with their routes. They never give up. They don't play until the whistle's blown. So we just have to bring our A game all Saturday.
How do you feel like you and Jace complement each other in general?
Jace and even Dane, they've had a lot of experience on the field. Jace is very smart. He'll give me advice here and there when I feel like I messed up. He handles his business on his side of the ball most definitely. And even with Dane over there, they just, you know, very great players, and I expect them to see him in the league here soon, you know. So,
yeah.
All right, that'll do it. That was fun. There was a little more positivity in this podcast than the one we had last week.
Oh, absolutely.
But I, before we go, we'll plug some stuff. You know, of course, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast on the Apple Podcasting app or Google Play. You can download our free Wildcaster app as all our content, and you don't even need to be a subscriber to read all of it. And our podcast appears on there. And then we still have our giveaway going on. Mm-hmm. You want to plug that?
Yep. Photo Fantastic giveaway is on Tucson.com. You can also see it on Arizona Daily Star Facebook page, at the Wildcaster Twitter page. It's everywhere on the Arizona Daily Star, no matter where you look at it. You just go, you click on the link, and then you see a little camera button. You click on that camera button, and any pictures that you have of yourself wearing Arizona gear, you submit it. We'll select winners, and winner will get 2 tickets on the 50-yard line at Arizona's next home game against UCLA, and a $50 gift card to the UVA bookstore. So, hey, all you got to do is just submit a picture of you wearing the Block A, red and blue, and you might get a $50 gift card. Hey, that's a polo right there.
It's worth it, yeah. I mean, if you're wearing one right now, just post a picture. Why not?
And plus, you get to see the almighty Josh Rosen next week.
Chosen Rosen.
So,
it doesn't feel like it's been since NAM, since we were at Arizona State.
Since NAM.
Since we were at, it feels like forever since we were there at this point.
I know, and it's crazy to think it was the Utah game.
Yeah, two weeks ago. Yeah, there's been so much stuff. It feels like a month. Like football, it's kind of weird. Like even just focusing on football with everybody just caring about the basketball thing.
On all the all the basketball stuff going on. And it's just sometimes you forget, like, man, we have a football game this week.
Yeah, exactly.
I totally forgot about that. So, anyways.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll close it on that note. As always, send in your Twitter questions to #AskBlatt. Follow me on Twitter @ZachBlatt and Justin @JustinE. Spears. Mm-hmm. And thanks for listening.